We are back into the book of Genesis today here on Abounding Grace Radio, looking at chapters 29 and 30. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon to get things started.
This is Jerry Springer stuff. Love potions, manipulation, greed, fighting, bitterness, scheming, all in the household of our great father, Abraham, which ultimately is the household of who? Jesus. The shocking thing is that God does not fail these people.
And what's even more shocking is he doesn't fail us either. Again, welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon will take a look at the life of Israel, Jacob. It's a message called Israel Begins. As we begin this week here on Abounding Grace Radio, we take a look at the messy lives we live and the grace that surpasses it all. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's program.
When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son, and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Then she said, "Here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, "Good fortune has come." So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. In the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph, saying, "May the Lord add to me another son." May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. If I were to ask all of you this morning, how was your week last week, or how was your month, or how was your year, I'm pretty sure that the patent answer that I would get is that it was good. It was good. But if I really asked you to be honest about it, what if I asked you to summarize your month or summarize your year? Imagine for a minute that Jacob was sitting by you in the pew. And you asked him that question, Jacob, how are things going? And you just listened to what I read in Genesis 30. And if he were honest, can you imagine the answer? Well, I have to confess some things today to you. I have schemed my dying dad. I sold my brother's inheritance. I stole my brother's inheritance. I've totally disregarded my parents' God. I ran off. I joined myself to a pagan uncle in total disregard of God's promises. And last week, well, I reaped what I sowed. My uncle Laban worked me a good one. He gave me and got me in the very same deception that I pulled, and now I'm a polygamist. And now I have to deal with two hostile housewives. I don't love one of them. In fact, the really legitimate wife I don't have an attraction to. And she does everything she can to continue to win my love. She just keeps pulling that on me. The other, she's obsessed with herself. She's a narcissist. She said that she will die if I don't give her children. And all they do is fight. All they do is fight. My house is in utter turmoil. And you say, oh, I'm sorry I asked. You know, I didn't mean to get all that. But if you really stood back from Jacob, and after he summarized all that, what would be the most painful thing through it all? God keeps on blessing me. I mean, I have really wrecked things. And all that I get is blessing and not cursing. Over and over and over and over. This has been the story of Jacob, and I think that's what has really surprised me, and I hope that this has kind of taken you captive by now in our study of Genesis. Just how surprising the messy lives of these people are, and that God puts this here in the very first book of the Bible and says, see my saints, see my holy people, look at their lives, look at them and study these lives. I don't know if I sounded like a broken record already in the book of Genesis. I feel that I have a bit, but I do. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but we keep coming across the same stories. And all I seem to see as I go through this is that the messes seem to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, today is a soap opera. I mean it when I said before, this is Jerry Springer stuff. Love potions. Manipulation, greed, fighting, bitterness, scheming, all in the household of our great father, Abraham. Which ultimately is the household of who? Jesus. So what am I supposed to come up with this morning as the main point? If you were working on this sermon, what would you come up with as the main point of this? Well, the shocking thing is that God does not fail these people. He is relentless. He keeps coming, and nothing of any of the evil, nothing of any of the mess that these people make ever once overturns his plan and his promise and what he decided to do before the project even began. And it really does help to understand something like Philippians when he says the work that he begins, he's going to complete it. Nothing along the way is stopping the completion of the work that he began in us. And this is a play out of that. Genesis is a play out of Ephesians 1 or Philippians 1. I've got a mess this morning in front of me in Genesis chapter 30 that I don't think I've come across yet in the preaching of Genesis. And I hope, again, that you stand back and you say, well, again, I'm overwhelmed. I see again afresh the wonderful, powerful, effective working of God in people's lives through this, and that the driving response should be, well, if that's the case, then I really need to pursue, as a saint, the kind of righteous life that pleases him. It's what this should produce. Jacob, you remember the story of what's in front of us. Jacob has come to the land of the east. He is he's away from the promised land. He has been on the run, and he's joined himself, like the young prodigal, to a cruel man who has no interest in him, who changes his wages 10 times. We'll be studying that. And Jacob is fully reaping what he sowed. Jacob is completely now suffering the choices, the consequences of the choices that he has made. So he thought in the last scene that he was working for Rachel for these 7 years. But he was schemed by a greater schemer. The schemer was schemed by a greater schemer. He was schemed by good old Uncle Laban. And now he has landed himself in a polygamous mess. But if I could pause from all this and think about the one great tragedy in this text, who would it be? The real great tragedy in this particular text is Leah, isn't it? She is. As you study Leah, you'll notice here that after this big scheme happened, God does something for Leah, and God gives her 4 sons. And the key to understanding and getting into the mind of Leah a little bit is to understand the naming that goes on of these sons. You'll see that there in chapter 29, all of the names that Leah then goes on and gives. And notice she's the one doing the naming. You get a sense that Jacob is completely out of this. But Leah is the one really driving the giving of the names. And the first one, the first son that she receives from the Lord, she names Reuben. Reuben means see, a son. So in other words, she's crying out for attention with this first son. She holds up the son, and you could imagine her looking at Jacob and saying, Jacob, look, see, a son. And then she says that the Lord looked upon my affliction. And this moving statement, therefore my husband will love me. Jacob, see. Verse 33, it goes on. She says in verse 32 and 33, because the Lord has heard that I'm hated, he's given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon's name means heard. He's heard me. The Lord sees that I'm unloved. Verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name is called Levi, which means attached. You see what's happened here with this woman? Leah is desperately trying to win her husband's love. God has done something for me, Jacob. Do you see it? Look, here's my son, and God is hearing me. Do you see it? Do you see? I want to be attached to you. When you stand back from this, you really do feel the pain of Leah. Here was a woman in the hands of all of these ruthless men. And I mean it. Dad has no care for her. All he does is use his daughter for his own greed. And she is here. You'll notice the text has made clear that she's the unattractive one. Anytime that anyone ever walked by Leah and Rachel, everyone was looking at Rachel. Dad's favorite was Rachel. Here comes this new charmer, deceitful in himself and Jacob. And now she's launched into this deceptive plan by Dad. She's thrown into it. And notice here, Jacob doesn't even want her. Dad launches her in. Jacob doesn't want her. She gets thrown in the midst of all this. The sense is that Jacob despised her. Her whole life, desperately depicted here as trying to find love and never getting it. Whole life. You think this is a real challenge in our day for women? I don't want to run away from this too quick. They're wired to be loved. And look how she's being treated. This struggle happens in homes. How many women have given themselves before marriage to try to hold on to a man? How much do parents worry about that with daughters? How many feel alone and neglected and unloved and who are in the hands of cruel men who don't care and who show absolutely no love? One psychologist writes, I know of no more potent killer than isolation. no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. Isolation has been shown to be the central agent in the development of depression, paranoia, schizophrenia, and others. The devil's strategy for our times is to trivialize human existence and to isolate us from one another while creating the delusion that the reasons are time pressures, work demands, and economic anxieties. Signs of being unloved? Your spouse doesn't listen. Attitude of who cares? Tomorrow we'll talk about it. Feeling that you can never please. Feeling that one's going the other way. Now I want you to meet Leah. This is her life. This is the life that is put in front of you. Here. Jacob did not love her. And the text says, she's crying out, love me. Jacob, love me. Well, you've entered Jacob's house. And now what begins is a war like I've never studied before. Rachel sees this. Rachel sees that Leah is giving birth to all of these babies. And remember, in that culture, you were nothing. This was your identity if you didn't have children. And notice the envy and the anger and the bitterness that begins to take over Rachel. In verse 1, Rachel sees and saw that she bore Jacob no children. She envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children, or I shall die. Create in me, Jacob, a child, or I shall die. And you say, do what? Jacob responds, am I in the place of God? Strange twist to this is that she did die in childbearing with Benjamin, by the way. If you don't give me children, I will die. Ah, the polygamous life. In no situation where you ever have polygamy described in the scriptures is it anything that ever worked out well. In fact, any design that is outside of God's design never works out well. It makes sense. It's completely against the design of Genesis chapter 1. And Jacob is learning here already an important lesson. He's trying now to keep two wives happy. On the one hand, he has an unsatisfied wife who wants his love, whom he does not love. And on the other hand now, he has a jealous, envious younger wife and younger sister to his older wife who's demanding children and now warring with the sister. You'll notice that. Envy has filled her. Bitterness has filled her. It is eating her up. And when anger eats people up like this, it goes somewhere. Before us now, she reinstitutes an old custom. We should know this custom. Remember it? Then she said, verse 3, here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf and that even I may have children through her. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Everyone should know this custom by now because it was the very thing that Sarah and Abraham tried. It was Abraham's greatest failure of his life. It was the custom that established by the matriarch, remember Sarah, we'll go outside ourselves and we'll produce this ourselves and go into my servant Hagar. Same language. Perhaps we will have children by her. The whole thing is being repeated. And you stand back and you think, well, you think Jacob would by now have said, no, listen, grandfather tried that and suffered terribly for this whole mess. That's the do-it-yourself method. He had a son he had to send away. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Well, Jacob's on board, of course. And he goes in to Bilhah and has two children by Bilhah. The first is Dan, and Dan means literally judge. Dan will be the tribe of judgment, and then comes Naphtali. And I want you to notice what happens here. Did you notice verse 4? So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. That's three now. He now has three wives. This is not a fling. This is another wife. And notice what Rachel's doing. She takes Dan and she holds up Dan and she says, look, Leah, God has judged my case. See? God had nothing to do with that plan. In other words, God didn't ordain that. God didn't sanction that. And she drags God's name through the mud and says, see? It was their plan. And then as soon as she has Naphtali, meaning wrestled, she says, I have out-wrestled my sister. What, do you think Jacob stopped on that one? Jacob had out-wrestled his brother. They fought in the womb. And the whole course of Jacob's life now is being played out by two sisters at war in his own home. I won, says Rachel, the younger. I won. We've got a lot of babies being born here right now. If you fathers think you're up at night, you can take comfort in thinking about Jacob. This almost is comical in the worst kind of way, isn't it? Jacob's reaping what he sowed. From the very time Jacob was in the womb with Esau, he wrestled, he clenched, he wrestled away through scheming the birthright and stealing from his brother, and in his own house, the two wives, there is bitter wrestling and scheming, and there he is at the center of it all. The whole thing replayed. We never get away with anything in life. Do you realize that? We all are doing certain things, and we're all making choices about life. I can assure you, you're never getting away with it, ever. It always comes back to haunt.
Well, to be sure, our lives are quite messy when we stack it up against a holy God and our elder brother who has done everything to purchase us from that unholy mess that we live out daily in our sinfulness. A very encouraging, sobering, but encouraging look at Genesis chapters 29 and 30 here today. Tomorrow, we'll go on to look further at 29 and 30 and glean more graceful insights as we continue our survey of Genesis. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, tomorrow we'll go on to continue our look at Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Here on Abounding Grace Radio. You know, in the midst of all of the messiness that we see here in Genesis, we can't help but walk away with a couple of main truths. Number one, it's still just as messy today. Number two, God is still faithful, even when we are faithless. And if there was a third, I would actually add, Understanding and learning from history helps us to avoid repeating it. And may that be true in your life today. We'll see you tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.